And we welcome Master Gardener Elizabeth Mollica with Tips to Grow On, brought to you by Columbia Nursery and Landscaping. Serving the Flathead for 26 years on 9th Street West in Columbia Falls. Good morning, Elizabeth.
Good morning, John. Hi, Robin. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you for having me, and thank you, Columbia Nursery. Wonderful rains for the gardens and firefighters, I hope.
Oh, yeah.
I hope it's made a difference in the fires we've had around.
Oh, it has.
And what are you harvesting? What are you harvesting these days?
Oh, my gosh, we're harvesting everything. We got tomatoes that are the size of pumpkins.
No, I don't say that because I'm jealous. I'm jealous. So cabbages are still coming in, of course, herbs, and the annuals are just giving their best right before we pull them out. But before I continue, I want to give special thanks to everyone who makes our lives easier in so many ways. So thank you, thank you. John and Robin, I have a special guest, as you can see, and I have wanted to get this guy in for 2 years or 3 years. No, I think it was before the pandemic. Because we are going to talk apples, and more apples today.
Ooh, I thought you were going to say apples and oranges.
No, not oranges yet. No, not yet. not yet. So with my very special guest, known to many in the Valley as he's helped them with their orchard issues, Rod McGiver from a Montana Home Orchard Project. He has over 200 varieties of fruiting trees and shrubs and brambles and vines in production and under testing. Among them, he corrected me this morning, 150 apple varieties,
wow.
Last count. Expert in grafting, some of you listeners may have taken his grafting classes at the college, and so much more. I refer to him as the apple guru, Rod. Meet John Hendricks and Robin Mitchell.
Hi. Good to have you here. Yeah. Can we call him Johnny Appleseed?
Well, you have to ask him.
It's Rod McGiver. I wondered that Johnny Appleseed thing myself. Is that true that's why we have apples across America?
He had a lot to do with that, but he was of a strange religion who thought grafting was a scourge against God, and so he planted seeds only, and most of his apples are what we would call spitters. You take one bite and spit them out. But his purpose was planting them to make booze, not to make pie.
And now we know more.
That explains the hat he wore, which was a pan.
That's right. Johnny Appleseed, he was related to Annie Greensprings, I guess.
So John and Robin and you listeners know that I base my topics usually on seasonal happenings and needs in the garden. But today we're going to flip this around a little bit. We're going to talk about harvest time first, and then we're going to talk about the spring, what happens to trees and what you need to do in the spring. So, Rod, it is apple harvest time. So when are apples ready to harvest?
Every variety is different, and every year is different. Many people just say wait till the first frost, which is probably a good guideline for one of the more popular apples, the Macintosh. But really, many of the summer apples have already turned to mush. Summer apples traditionally are softer and less durable, less storable than the winter apples. They're usually used right away. Processing, and people who like to eat them generally eat them when they're a little early, and they get a little and have a little more of a bite to them. But the way to tell when many apples you can tell when they're ready to pick, but when they're easy to pick, if they're easy to pull off of the branch and their color looks good. But some apples have a mature color of yellow, very few green, and some brown. So a more reliable indicator is the color of the seed. Cut the apple open, and if the seed is very dark, it's maybe even past ready. If the seed is tan, it's getting there where if you like it a little like it is, pick it then, or wait till it gets a little sweeter as the seed gets darker. If the seed is white, it's absolutely not ready to pick, and it won't even store at that point. It needs to have begun to mature before it can store.
Okay, so are you suggesting pick one and check the seeds and, yes, and proceed.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And so, the windfalls are not always a good indicator because they ripen earlier than the tree. Pick one off of the tree to test. When they fall off the tree, they get on that warm ground and they ripen early. Mm-hmm. And they don't tell the tale about the apples still in the tree.
So when you talk about apples turning to mush, that we could still use them for applesauce, right?
I mean, yes, they're not much so
to be composted yet.
But you can't store them. Once they get that way, they're not going to keep.
Okay, so is there? What about apples that are bruised? I mean, can I can still use them, but what about, would you store them still if they're bruised, or would you not?
Well, a few that are famous for stories, like the Northern Spy Clan, which includes Honeycrisp, they'll store under almost any conditions, but the storage value is much reduced when they're bruised. Some of them the bruise turns to rot and spreads.
So when we get to picking apples, is there a difference between picking them for personal use and picking them for juicing, for instance? So if we pick them for personal use from the tree, or let's say they have fallen to the ground, what about, you know, apples that we want to juice? Do we need to take extra precautions?
Well, if your apples have fallen amongst deer droppings and so forth,
then
some people just say that's compost. So being a cheap Scot, I put them through a three-stage wash with heavy Clorox being the middle stage, and I grind them up into cider, and I'm happy to have them still alive at 81.
So Rod, when it comes to storing apples, is there a trick to storing apples? Are there do's and don'ts?
Moist and cool is the best.
Really?
The pros use nitrogen. That's not worth our discussion, I don't think. But if you've got a root cellar, that's great. If you've got a refrigerator, that's space, that's better. But put them in a shady, cool area and keep it damp. If you put them in a garage, splash a little water around them every once in a while. Don't let them shrivel up on you.
Now, can you pick them early and cold storage them, and will they ripen after picking?
Yes, I would say maybe you wouldn't want it as cool. If you pick them too early, they store better. But don't pick them when the seeds are still white. At that point, they just shrivel away. They've got to show some signs of ripening on their own before you pick them. But the earlier you pick them, the longer they will store.
I thought maybe they were like bananas, you know.
No, they do. Some apples, I have eaten apples in June, stored in an old root cellar I inherited with the place I bought, which is not properly ventilated and not the best, but I have stored Northern Spies until June. I keep throwing water on the dirt floor and open the doors at night when it's cool, you know, mm-hmm. not in the winter when it's too cool. And
water on the floor, humidity.
Probably don't throw a lot of water on the apples themselves. Mm-hmm. I don't do that. Maybe it works, but I wouldn't try it.
No. So could you use a humidifier?
I suppose so. That's getting pretty high tech.
Yeah. Okay. So, Rod, what about listeners who've always wanted to have an apple tree and they didn't know where to start? You know, you probably can't just have one. You want to have two or three and don't know how to get started. So how do they need to prepare a space for apple trees? What is the ideal, the best time and the ideal spot to plant trees?
Well, if you can find a place that gets at least half a day of sunshine, and it's advantageous if you have a sloped area so that the cool air doesn't pool on them because of our short growing season, and the quality of the soil does not have to be that great. First thing you need to decide is what size apple trees you want, because that determines the spacing. There is a small window for planting in the fall, but it's usually best to plant in the spring, and I advise people to make a stack of leaves or other compostable material at every spot where they want to plant the tree, and by spring, the worms have prepared the soil for them.
How far apart should you plant these trees?
That depends on the size you select. Trees come on different, since all our are named varieties are grafted, they're clones.
Oh.
They're all put on a rootstock, which is developed only for purposes of controlling tree size and strength. Okay. And longevity. And so if you choose dwarfs, you can cram them in there at 5 or 10 feet apart. If you choose a full-size tree, you need 25 to 35 feet apart, and a semi-standard, half of that. But there's a gradation. It's not that simple. It's not one, okay. two, three. There's rootstocks for practically any size you want to get, and you have to do a little. Usually you have to go to a mail-order catalog to get a full range of sizes, because most local nurseries break it down into thirds, one-third, one-half, full, okay. you know, to keep it simple for the folks.
Okay,
you know?
So Rod, as you're talking about sizes, I would think we also need to consider our ages, and I'm never into ageism, but if I'm at a certain age where I know in about 5 or 10 years I will need to climb a ladder to get to the top of that tree mm-hmm. to pick it, so I think I probably should consider having a smaller tree, dwarfs
another,
or semi-dwarfs.
There's another point related to that. When the way trees are dwarfed is the root system is weak, and so the tree senses the stress and goes into reproductive mode earlier. So you get your apples sooner if you plant the smaller trees. But on the other hand, they die in 20 or 30 or 40 years, whatever. You know, how the amount their size is reduced, their lifespan is reduced. For an older person, that's a very small issue. You know?
Mm-hmm. So we talked about size control. Rod, what is the biggest mistake, or let's say what is an enemy? I don't want to say enemy, but adversary to an apple tree. What are the biggest mistakes people can make when they plant apple trees?
Well, grass. A young tree cannot compete with grass. If you don't control the grass, your tree is going to struggle. Grass makes a very dense root mat for the first 6 inches of soil. The trees have their roots uniformly spread out through that area in greater depths. And if there's any grass there, they will not thrive in Montana. The pictures you see in merry old England, they get 50 to 60 inches a year of rainfall. So there's enough to go around. Here there's not. Grass is the number one enemy. Then in the winter, the voles and the pocket gophers can take them out, not to mention the deer. So you've got to think of all of these things.
So what about red clover? I mean, red clover is such a nutrient to the soil, and I've seen people plant red clover around fruit trees, especially apple trees.
I like that because it's not invasive. I planted white clover around my nursery one time, and nothing grew anything. The white clover was just like grass. It just took it all. Mm-hmm. Even though it was producing nitrogen, it reused it. Water is the issue here. Trees don't need nitrogen as much as they need water.
So I'm very, very curious about the 200 varieties of fruiting trees that you have on your property. Are they all apple trees?
Not that many.
I
have a lot of pears, and I also dabble in apricots and plums and cherries, but I don't have as much luck with them. I live out in the middle of the valley where the wind blows strong, so I'm a very, very I sell fruit just to introduce people to the fruit I grow, but it's not a good production area. It's a test area.
Well,
if they make it there, they're good to go. And this last winter took out some of my favorite varieties. They just can't make it in the middle of the valley. I sell them only to people in town or by the lake.
So that brings up a question for me, site location. I think your property is very flat, so it gets a lot of wind. And so if someone has a way to choose a spot, what would you suggest? A slope, maybe?
That's the best.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you don't like the cold air to pool around here. And we are theoretically a zone 4. Zones are based on the average minimum winter temperature. We're theoretically a zone 4. But a botanical friend pointed out to me, you can't walk through the woods and find something that isn't zone 3. Because it's the early and late frosts that are really the controlling factor here. They knock stuff out. Hmm. So every once in a while, you find a zone 5 plant that makes it here. I had two zone fours go down this last winter, which was a very harsh winter because of timing as well as extremity of temperature.
Oh.
Well, Rod, I have a lot more questions for you, and there's so much more to cover about apple trees. I want to get into varieties, but I think we need to do part two of the apple program, and we'll do that. Yeah. We'll do that in 2 weeks, okay?
Sounds good.
Before we, Rod, I usually do garden to table, and we're going to talk apples today, but is there anything you would like to add about site location? We'll talk about varieties next time, varieties to succeed with. Is there anything you would like to add before I go to the apple a day?
Well, if people are curious about what apple they would like to plant, now is the chance to taste apples ripening all around the valley. And all the local nurseries know what grows here. They're good. But if you want unusual apples, you probably need to go to somebody, some weird little operator like me, or to some mail order. My favorite mail order is Fedco, and it's the only northern nursery that still prints a good catalog. A lot of nurseries have excellent websites. Mm-hmm. But if you hate the website, like the internet, like I do, you can call 207-426-990 and get an excellent catalog out of Maine, which you would enjoy studying.
And you can use the catalog as compost later on. Yes.
Keep down the grass. That's the way you keep down grass, is put down paper, then mulch.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Rod. Garden to table. Apples, apples, apples. You know the saying, apple a day keeps the doctor away? Uh-huh. According to the Cleveland Clinic, apples stabilize blood sugar, lowers cholesterol, reduces blood pressure, eases inflammation, and boosts your microbiome, which is, they're talking about that all the time now, very, very important, satisfies your hunger longer, and helps you live longer, they say. Next week, I'll be a roving reporter, not a raving reporter, but a roving, hopefully, but a roving reporter. So in 2 weeks, Rod, if you would come back, we'll continue the apple story. And we'll talk about varieties that people can succeed with. Mm. But before I close, I would like to leave you an apple quote. And this was done by Anonymous. And he said, or she, just because you find one bad apple doesn't mean you should give up on the whole tree. Has several meanings. So thank you for listening. Have a safe holiday weekend without the labors. Remember, we're in this together, and pay forward if you can. And thank you again, Rod, for sharing your time and wisdom and experience. And if you need to get in touch with Rod MacGyver, his local phone number is 406-756-9445. For his wisdom and more of information. Thank you, Rod, for coming.
Quite welcome.
Well, I hope you'll join us next Thursday for more Tips to Grow On with Master Gardener Elizabeth Mollica. It's brought to you by Columbia Nursery and Landscape. Excellent advice, great customer service. They've been serving the Flathead for 26 years, right there on 9th Street West in Columbia Falls. That's Columbia Nursery.